Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a hard gospel. And I was wrestling with that this week. And the Holy Spirit came tap dancing on my head. And so I have a story for you instead. Charlie was a one of a kind kind of guy. When you saw him, you knew exactly who you were seeing as he was walking down the street, and you knew that there were very few people in the world like him anymore. You always wished there were more of them. You could always recognize him because he was always walking around in his Dickies bibles, whether they were the denim ones or the engineer ones, except on Sunday morning, when Charlie always wore a shirt and a tie to church, no matter how uncomfortable he looked in them. Charlie had lived his entire life in town. He had graduated from high school, played football and baseball. He had done all of those kinds of things. He'd always helped around the house and the farm, but he had actually started working the farm with his dad when he graduated from high school, and he just kept right on. When Dad retired, Charlie just kept right on. Charlie's wife and three daughters and now their husbands, they all help as they can. But Charlie loved the work, and he was good at it, and he was prosperous. Yes, there were lean years for Charlie like every other farmer, and some years were okay, and some years were downright all right. God had been good to Charlie, and Charlie always loved to work hard. Charlie and his family were actually really doing okay. In fact, if Charlie had been so disposed, he could have shown up a lot of people who thought they were important because of how much money they made. But Charlie never wanted to do that. He could have had a bigger house or more expensive clothes or a fancier car. Wasn't his style. Charlie was generous at church, and he loved to help people. Now, sometimes that was with a check, but more often than not, it was with his sweat and a smile. If he wrote the check, he never wanted anyone to know that he had done that, and he preferred to work with his hands. He wanted to get his hands dirty, and he wanted to help whoever that he could. But the one thing that everyone knew about Charlie is that he called everyone neighbor. If you saw Charlie on the street, he would greet you with a, "Hello today, neighbor." He did that for everyone, even his mom and dad and his wife and girls, everyone. "Hello today, neighbor." Now, once you said hi back, he would call you by name if he knew it. He would ask how you were, how the family was, ask if you had any need for his help at all kinds of other conversational stuff. But when all of that was over, Charlie always said, "Have a fine day, neighbor." Now, if you ask Charlie why he did that, he would say something like this. He would say that it's very important for all of us to love our neighbors. And I want to remember that everyone, all of you, all of the people I see are my neighbors. Some people wonder why he does the same thing to his family, and he tries to tell them that I think Jesus taught us that we should love everyone. And so I try to love everyone as much as my family, rather than try to figure out how to love someone less. That does kind of make sense, but most people just shake their heads. But everyone still loves to bump into neighbor Charlie when they come into town, because he makes everyone feel special and important. Now, a few years back, on a Thursday afternoon, just after school had let out, tragedy struck neighbor Charlie. Ernie Swanson's boy Guy was driving home, and he turned to look on his back seat for something that had fallen, and Guy hit Charlie's mom and dad as they were driving to the A&P for groceries. Mom and dad died there on the spot, but Guy lived. In fact, he wasn't even scratched. Now, the ultimate irony is that Guy was looking forward that summer to working with Charlie on his farm, and he knew and he loved Charlie's parents like they were his own grandparents. But talk began to fly around the town. "Charlie's going to be some kind of mad now," or "I wouldn't want to be Guy right now," or "I bet he never calls Guy neighbor again." The truth is, Charlie was mostly sad. He was sad that he didn't get a chance to say goodbye to his mom and dad. He was sad that they were gone, and he knew that he would miss them terribly. But he was also, and this may sound weird, a little glad. Because now mom and dad never had to fret about nursing homes or Alzheimer's or having one of them die and the other survive. Charlie was glad for all of the things his parents had taught him. He was glad for the fact that he had been able to know them for as long as he had. Charlie was really glad that his parents knew God and God's love for them. And Charlie knew that this is not the end or the final word. Charlie was sad, but he also had hope. And then something really amazing happened at the calling hours for Charlie's parents. Guy came to the calling hours. Now, there were lots of people there, and most of them were in the main room. So the spot by the guest book was clear of most people. So Guy came and signed the book without anyone really knowing that he was there. But when he walked into that main room, everyone noticed. All conversations stopped. You could hear a pin drop. Charlie looked up and saw Guy. Now, many people there wondered if there was going to be yelling and screaming. Some were worried about punches being thrown. What no one expected was that Charlie, looking at Guy, and he said, "Hello today, neighbor." And Guy replied, "Hello, Charlie." Charlie then opened up his arms and says, "Why don't you come here?" And Guy rushed into those arms for a bear hug that looked like it was going to crush him. Crush him with love. Now, there were all kinds of whispers around the room. How could he do that? What's going on? And so Charlie spoke up. He said, "I couldn't do anything less now, could I? Guy loved my mom and dad as much or more than anyone here. And he has every right to be here to begin his goodbyes and his grieving. Don't you remember the story? The disciples had wanted to rain fire on a village that had rejected Jesus, but Jesus wouldn't let them do that, would they, Pastor?" "Nope." "How could I do anything to hurt Guy, knowing how much he is hurting already? He's hurting like I am. Guy is here because he loved my mom and dad." Someone in the back of the room shouted out, he said, "But he killed your mom and dad." Charlie said, "No, that was an accident. And no one can plan for those, and no one means for them to happen. No. Besides, I'm more into growing fruits." Someone startled said, "Charlie, you raise corn, beans, and wheat, not fruit, don't you?" Charlie said, "Fruits of the Spirit, I mean. You know, love, joy, patience, kindness, peace, and all those other fruits that we hear about in the Bible. Aren't we all supposed to try and bear those fruits? And live those fruits and all of that. I know I struggle with that every day." But turning to Guy, Charlie said, "I hope that you'll come and sit with me and my family at the funeral tomorrow." Guy mumbled, "But I didn't really plan on coming. I didn't think it would be proper." Charlie said, "We're going to be celebrating in church tomorrow, and you look like you could use a celebration. We're going to celebrate God's love. We're going to celebrate how mom and dad lived that love, and we're going to try to remember what it is that we can do to keep that love and mom and dad's memory fresh for us. Will you come?" Guy started a half a smile and he said, "Yes." "You're still going to work with me on the farm this summer, right?" Charlie asked. "Yes, sir," Guy said, and that smile got a little bit brighter and a little bit bigger. Charlie and Guy hugged again. Charlie looked him in the eye and he said, "Have a fine day, neighbor." Guy answered, "You too, neighbor." And then they both laughed as they winked at each other at exactly the same time. The funeral for Charlie's parents is still talked about to this day in town. The fun was definitely in funeral that day. And everyone marveled as Charlie and Guy worked all that summer and the next two before Guy went off to college to take a degree in agriculture science. There were times when the two of them would catch each other thinking about what happened that spring, but that would always end with a wink and a "have a fine day, neighbor," and that's what they did. Charlie's story shows me a lot of amazing truths. First and foremost is that idea that neighbor and family, that Jesus encourages us to love all alike. It's not that Jesus ever tells us to love our family less. Jesus wants us to love our neighbors, the strangers, even our enemies more. Another thing that this teaches us or shows us is that vengeance, raining down fire, is never the way Jesus uses power, ever. Jesus is not someone who teaches us to strike back, ever. And that following Jesus is important for all of us all the time. That the fruits of the Spirit are worth using and striving toward and sharing with other people and living in our lives. And that serving and loving your neighbor is always worth it. And it can be fun to boot. You see, as we live our lives as followers of Jesus, we are family and we are neighbors and we are loved and freed by God. We are freed for the purpose of helping one another. Our freedom is not a freedom for us to be autonomous individuals. Neither is our freedom licensed to do whatever it is that we want. We are freed from our sinful, selfish selves. We are freed from our sin and our guilt and our mistaken need to try to contribute to our own salvation. We are free to be utterly dependent on God. We are free to love our neighbors in many and various ways. We are free to discover new and appropriate ways to follow Jesus into this world. We are free to be dependent on one another. This is the freedom for which we have been set free. Think about it. There's an amazing truth for us today. Life is good. God's love is amazing. And all God asks is for us to share. So may God bless us and all of the things that we do. And I hope you have a fine day, neighbor. Amen.